Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. How exciting. What a year ahead. There's so much anticipation at the beginning of a year. I just love the beginnings of new things, and every year is no exception. Regardless of what's ahead, the trials, challenges, joys, freedoms, good things, heartaches, there's always an anticipation about everything and the goodness of God wrapped up in the middle of this. So let me just pray right up front before we start this message. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the promise of new. I thank you for the promise of life and love and liberty. And I'm praying for each person hearing this, that you'd fill them with expectation, fill them with hope and joy and the promises of freedom this year for them. And as we open your word this morning, bless it, put your Holy Spirit on it, and may each person be filled with joy and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me take you to a time when you felt really loved. I mean really loved, not in love, but you knew that somebody really loved you. Can you remember that? It might have been your mom or your dad. It might have been someone else close to you. It might have been even a teacher in a right sort of way, or someone you respected who just looked at you and said, you are an awesome human being. You are somebody really special. Well, I remember, she's a pretty special girl. But I remember when this girl called Rowena started liking me. And I knew from the beginning that she looked at me, not just with sort of affection, but there was a deep sense of love, a deep sense of appreciation for me as a person. And you know what? 25 years later, we've been married 25 years this week. And what an amazing celebration of love through its ups and downs. But it started with that sense of, I knew that this person really loved me and respected me. And you know what? It's actually worthwhile thinking through that, because that's how God views us. He really, really loves us. He really likes us. He actually made us, and he actually designed us for a reason and for a purpose. And he's got plans for our life and good things and blessings. He's got our best interest in mind. And when you discover that, like we've discovered it all last year, as we walked all through the Gospels, exploring how Jesus loved us, the question we've got is, well, how do we respond? What's our response back? When somebody really loves you, when somebody's got that great heart after you, it's like, how do you respond? There's a variety of ways that people do that. Sometimes it's, no, he doesn't really like me. He just puts up with me. He tolerates me. You know, there's that sense of kind of false pride that we long to be loved, but we don't feel like we're good enough or worthy enough to be loved. And so we kind of push it away a little bit. That's one response that often we see. Another response is we just don't know how to respond. It's like, well, he loves me, but like, what does that mean? He's God, it's weird. So we just kind of have this uneasy relationship. You know, this sense of, yeah, I know he loves me, sort of, but I don't really know what it means. But the best response is when people embrace God's love for them, let it change them, but then respond back and explore how they can love God back. And that, my friends, is the basis of the Christian life. It's the life of, how do we respond to God's love for us? That's really the only question we need to ask. God loves us, he's demonstrated us, he's died for us, he's made a way for us through. So what's our response? It's not about just being legalistic or moralistic. It's actually a heart response. Now, somebody in the Bible came to Jesus with that very question. And this is in Mark 12, 28. I'm going to read from it here. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing. It's people were arguing about God and life and love. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, which commandment is the most important of all? In other words, in their minds, how do we best love God? What's foremost? What's the first commandment? What's the most important response that we should be doing to God? And so Jesus answered, I love this. Jesus strips down the complexity of the Jewish law into two really succinct statements. Watch this, what Jesus does. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's it. He's created a really simple pathway, a really simple little system for us to love God by loving God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That was his answer. And he goes on to say, look, all of the law and the promise and everything, it's all wrapped around love God and love your neighbor, which we'll explore this month. But to love God, we can do this. We can actually achieve this in 2022. You can actually set your course to love God, and this is how you can do it. Here's some really, really practical ways. But let me just define what this actually means, because people talk about, you know, what is my heart? What's my soul? What's my mind? And what's my strength? So what is Jesus talking about? Well, here it is. Your heart is to put God first in your will. You see, the heart is the seat of intention. It's the place where you decide to do something. It's your choice. It actually rests in your heart. It's like, this is what I'm going to do. It's the resolution of what you're going to do. Your soul is who you are. It's the core of your being. It's your very identity. It's who you are when no one's looking. It's what goes on deep, deep, deep inside of you. Your mind is the faculty of your thoughts and your thinking. And our strength, it's around our actions. The strength is what we do. And so, put really simply, to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength is to love God with all of our faculties. And we're not trying to earn God's favor with this. Please understand this. This is a response to God's love. This is not how we earn God's favor. It's not how we earn God's love or his affections at all. You've got to understand, and Christianity is different to every other religion. See, Christianity says that you are loved. And the Christian goes, okay, I get that. Now, how do I respond back to God's love? See, that's the difference. Every other faith goes, I've got to work hard, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and maybe I'll attain that, or maybe I won't, because no other faith has the promises of Christianity. But Christianity flips this all upside down and says, you are loved. God made you, he designed you, he purposed you, he planned you, he gave you life and a future. And then he says, follow me, respond to my love. And that's the greatest way to live. So let me talk you through these four areas. And this really could change the way you approach every day. What if every day you simply set about loving God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? I wonder, could that be a really simple way to respond to God's love and live out of his freedom? Let's go through that. So our heart, it's our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your heart is the seat of desire. And what words come to mind when you say heart? Think about that, the response. Well, here's a great proverb. Proverbs 4:23 says to keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So guard your heart, keep your heart, protect your heart, because out of your heart flow the springs of life. Jesus later said, you know, that out of your heart is what flows life or death. You know, so it's actually what's inside of us that counts the most. If we want to be loving and pure and holy and good, it's no point trying to do that just by our actions. We've got to start here in our heart. True morality, true Christianity flows out of what's gone on inside. If our hearts are pure, then the words that we speak, the things that we do, our actions, they're all going to be good because our heart is good. And what's great about Jesus is he says, I'm going to give you a brand new heart. And out of your heart, the heart that I give you, will flow good things. It says it will flow rivers of living water. So when you have a transformed heart, the heart from Jesus, good things start flowing out. So guard your heart. Protect your heart. Make sure that the things that you feed it are good so that the things that come out of it are even better. Psalm 37:4 says to delight yourself in the Lord. This is the how, all right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in God, when you love God and you love people and you fill your mind and your heart with good things, it says God will give you the desires of your heart. That's because when you fill your heart with good things, the only things you really want are the things that God loves. And you find yourself distant from things like vengeance or hatred or jealousy or desires for stuff that's not helpful in life. The things that this world craves, you kind of get a distaste for that because you've filled your heart with good things. So love the Lord your God with your heart means to fill your heart with only good things. So be careful what you feed it through your eyes, through what you take in and you're reading. Guard it. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what you search for. Seek God, and then you will find that your heart is good and pure, and then out of that will flow wellsprings of life. So that's the first thing. Guard your heart with all vigilance and love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put him first. Make the heart the first thing in your life. So let's move on. The soul. Now the soul is a little bit more complex because the soul is deeply complex. The human soul, I tell you, is deep. It is powerful. It is easily broken. It's fragile. The human soul is the center of who we are. And we know in psychology and modern science, we're starting to get a little bit of an inkling as to the complexity of the human soul. But I tell you, It's deep, and God has created a place for himself to live in. It's in your soul. And when you have God living in your soul, then you are fulfilled. And it fulfills that ache that all of us have for fulfillment, for deep desires and earnestness. Psalm 42 talks about the deep calls to deep and the sound of your waterfalls. It says your waves and your breakers wash over me. It's like when God's in the middle, then it's like anything can come and go, but that depth of the human emotion that lives in the seat of your soul somehow can cry out to God, and it's like being washed over and cleansed, and it's a beautiful thing. But when you don't have God deep in your soul can be easily damaged, severely damaged, heartache, heartbreak. Those words actually describe what's going on in the soul. So the question is here before us is how do we love the Lord with all our soul? What impressions, you know, when people say, what's your soul? It's kind of a weird question, isn't it? People don't always say, you know, hey, Jeff, tell me, how is your soul going today? It's not so much that we talk like that, but our soul is deep. So David was a soul man. David was the king of Israel. He lived about 1,000 years before Jesus. He was the greatest king. He was a poet. He was a musician. He was a warrior. He was actually very good looking, according to the scriptures as well. He had everything. But the best thing about King David was his soul. His soul yearned after God. In Psalm 23, he says this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. David knew that his soul needed to be restored. David knew that life does damage to our soul. People do damage to our soul. Circumstances do damage. Just the grit of the 9 to 5 or whatever we have these days, the 9 to 12 or, you know, just life does damage to our soul. But he recognized and he knew from firsthand experience that God guided his soul. Now, that says to me that it's so important that we care for our soul. That's another way that we can love God back, is by looking after our soul. How do we do that? Here it is. It's simply take time to be with Jesus. That's it. What if every day we took time to be with Jesus, that we let our soul be filled with Jesus, that we took that verse seriously. See, he leads me beside still waters and he restores my soul. Just this morning, I went for a walk. I live not far from the river, the Macquarie River. And I walked beside the river. You know, it's still got lots of water in it compared to usual summer. And it was sunrise. It was a beautiful day. And I just looked at this river and I stopped and I paused in my walk. I scooped down and I picked up some water and it was quite warm. And I just enjoyed the sunlight, the first rays of light coming over in the morning. And I got a great sense of God's love. I wasn't trying to show him how much I loved him, or I just pictured myself in Psalm 23. I pictured myself being led beside, well, not so much still waters, but waters at least in the mighty Macquarie. And I got a sense of God's love and refreshment and that everything was okay. And just for a moment, the world can disappear. All my pressures of life and things got to think through and things I've got to do and be concerned about, they just all disappear because I took time to restore my soul with Jesus. It's actually a response. It's an action. Take time to be with Jesus. Be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. I love praying in the Spirit, early morning walks. I just pray along in the Spirit because I don't know what to pray half the time. But I know that if I'm praying in the Spirit, I can sense, I can feel the Holy Spirit stirring and, you know, working out the deep desires of my soul because the Holy Spirit, you know, can speak right there. What about the start of the day? Invite the Holy Spirit in to speak to you. Just those waking moments. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father. Come in and take me through the day. And what about at the end of the day? Just thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. And putting to rest the anxieties and the burdens, the things that didn't go so well, the pressures, and just pushing them back on for God. It restores our soul. Those spiritual activities are really important. And if you get into a rhythm every day, I tell you, 2022 is looking bright. Allow Jesus to restore your soul. But the action point to do is to find ways of just being with him each day. It's a response to God's love. So that's what it means to love the Lord your God with your heart and with your soul. Let's look at the mind. The mind is also complex. Aren't people incredible? Isn't what God has made unbelievably amazing? Every single person has these faculties. It blows my mind to think that there's 8 billion people right now on the planet. Each unique, but each with the same incredible complex makeup. How can this just be an accident? Goodness me. How can people just have evolved from some amoeboid swamp somewhere with some lightning and suddenly with this complex, incredible being? God has intimately designed us like this. God has made us. And when it goes well, I tell you, incredible. Humans are incredible. And these are the faculties, the 4 faculties of people. Anyway, our mind. Our mind is what we think about. And you can see how they're linked together because what goes on in here feeds down to here. We are transformed, says God, by the renewing of our mind. We've got to rewire this thing. We really do. We've got to be fixed so that our mind can be fixed on good things. We've got to rewire. You know, so much even of education in our world is kind of skewed. A lot of what we read in the press and social media is actually not always accurate, or the perspectives are not always right. So we've got to be discerning about what's the right worldview. And sure, we understand and research and study things, but we've got to come under the Word of God and understand His perspective on things. Take a quick check right now on the things that occupy your mind. Are they pleasing to God? I think the worst nightmare, would be, at the end of my life, for God to say, well, let's just have a quick movie reel of everything that you thought about in your whole life. Imagine that displayed up on a screen somewhere. Imagine God at the end of my life going, let's just have a bit of a look about your thoughts. I know you acted pretty well, but what did you think about half the time? And I'd be horrified because there's so many thoughts that go in my mind that it's kind of like I'm quick to erase. Mind, don't go there. It's like, if I see something that I shouldn't, if I ponder something and the mind is so quick, particularly guys, we like looking at things, girls, cars, motorbikes, the things that we fill our minds with. I tell you, we've got to be quick to just redirect. No, sorry, Jesus, I lingered there just a moment too long. But can you imagine? But what would it be like if I could fill my mind with good things, wholesome things? This verse, I love this verse. This is Philippians 4, verse 8. It tells us the things that we should occupy our mind with. What's this? It says, finally, brothers. Like, if there's one thing I want to get through, says Paul. There's one thing I want to leave you with. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things. Some translations say dwell on such things. Let's look at that list a little bit closer. Honorable things that are noble and worthy. People have fought hard for something. Things that are high and valued. Just things that are right and proper and in their good space, things that stand up for justice. We think about these things. Whatever is pure, even if it's just a pure waterfall or a stream of water or a good action or something that's just of just incredible pure beauty or loveliness, whatever is lovely, people are lovely. I just think people are the most incredible things. And it might be a conversation that you replay in your mind or a smile that somebody gave you. It's lovely. Or it could be a physical scene of a mountain and trees and landscapes. Whatever is lovely, this is what we should occupy our minds with. Whatever is commendable, whatever is worthy of commendation or excellence. People do excellent things. God does excellent things. We fill our minds with things that are excellence, worthy of praise. It's like when somebody comes to work and says, hey, did you see that 100 that somebody scored in cricket? Did you see the way he was using his bat? Or did you see that awesome way that somebody did something? It's commendable. It's worthy of praise. Now, this is what the Bible's saying. It says, think about these things. Occupy your mind with good things. That's how to love the Lord your God with all your mind. Fill your mind with things. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that filters down to your heart so that what comes out of your heart is good and wholesome and full of joy and full of life. But I tell you, if you fill your mind with things that are not excellent and just evil or sinful or dirty or corrupt or greedy or rude, that's ultimately what will flick out. It just works that way. There's no shortcuts. It might take a while to feed back down, There's a lag effect, but I'm telling you, the way to fix what comes out of your heart is actually to fix what goes into your heart. That's where true character is formed. So make sure the things that you fill your mind with, the things you watch, are pure and excellent and lovely. So maybe it's time to do a quick check. Maybe it's time to set some resolutions for 2022. Maybe it's time to just go, you know what? That friend that I've got, he's constantly dragging me down to the gutter. I just think I need to find a new friend. this person in my life, he's always, you know, showing me stuff that's just, it's just a little bit off. So maybe I just need to, you know, still be in that person's world, but you know what? I don't want to spend much time there. Maybe there's some movie or some TV series or things that you go, you know, it's just on the edge a little. I'm not sure if I really should be watching this, but it's a good story and everybody at work is talking about it. And, you know, but inside you're going, this takes me somewhere else up here. It's not that good for my mind. Just don't watch it. There's plenty of good stories out there. Fill your TV watching with good stories. If you're going to watch something, may it be excellent. May it be good or wholesome or, you know, there's so much good in this world. But find those things. Things that you drift, the things that you search for online. There's downtimes when you have online where you go, oh, I think I'll just Google. Maybe just don't do that. Or maybe just Google excellent things. Maybe just fill your life with good people. I tell you, that's why church is so powerful. Get to know the people around you right now. Fill your lives with them. Invite them over for dinner. Go for a walk with them. Picnic and coffee and fill your lives with good people. And that'll help you be renewed in your mind because they'll lead you down good paths. Get around God. Get His Holy Spirit and His Word in you, and you'll find yourselves having a distaste for the things of this world. Fill your mind with good things. I've got to keep going because the last one's really exciting. It's the strength. It's the love of the Lord your God with all your strength. That's your might. It's your muscle. It's the action part. You see, love the Lord your God with your heart. It's the intention. With your soul, it's who you are. Taking time to be with Jesus. With all your mind, it's what you think about. But the strength is your action. It's what you do. And that's another way to love God. It's not the only way. It'd be terrible if we think that we've just got to do stuff. That's just mere religion. Any religion can do that. But now that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind and that our heart is full and pure, we can have the strength to do good things. So Psalm 40, verse 8, David again, he says, I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will. I delight to act on your will. I love doing what you love. And he says, for your law is within my heart. Do you see the link? Because God's law is in our heart, we love doing what God loves us to do. Those sorts of things is justice and mercy and compassion and looking after people. It's sacrificial. It sometimes goes beyond what we would normally do. It's going the extra mile. It's turning the other cheek. All these things that God shows us how to do, we have the power to do it because we delight in the law of God in our heart. Therefore, we want to do the things that please God. And so you might find yourself at the start of a day, a simple prayer might be, God, what can I do to demonstrate what you've done in my heart? How can I release what you've put inside my heart so that I can do good things? That's where it's at. So here's some things to help your rhythms. Worship daily. Find some time at the start of each day. Even if you have to get up 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour early, find time to worship God daily. That's an action. You're not trying to earn God's favor. You're responding to His love. Pray. Read His Bible. Pray in the Spirit. Put some worship music on. Go for a walk. Do something to connect with Jesus. That's an action. Come to church on a Sunday. Surround yourselves. It's an action. People say, oh, I don't need to go to church. You do. You really do. Come act on your convictions. Be surrounded by God's people. Lead them good things. Just say thank you often. Do things. Just gratitude, acts of devotion, prayer. Think. Just constantly do things that you think will be pleasing to God. He'll guide you. He'll give you opportunities. We're going to talk about loving our neighbor next week, but that's a whole other action, all right? But what I'm talking about at the moment is just a devotional response to God in little actions of devotion, just like you would if you were courting somebody, loving somebody, and you do little actions of affections. You might buy them some flowers. I'm talking about a guy Guys don't get flowers. Guys is like chocolate, right, ladies? But I know that girls like flowers. It's all good. So buy the girls some flowers. It's an action of devotion, isn't it? It's just saying, hey, I love you. This is awesome. You're incredible. But it's an action. You can speak those words. I've found that some people don't necessarily hear the words. They hear the action. So what actions of devotion can you do back to Jesus just to say thank you, just to reciprocate that love, not earn favor? So as we wrap up, I'd love you to think about this. I'd love you to think about how to build into your world some rhythms of devotion. That's what it is. At the start of the year, what a great time to have a look at your daily schedule, your weekly schedule, the practices and patterns of your world. I mean, what a great time to review how you do life. And if you reviewed them in the light of these four things, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and built in every day, how can I love God with my heart? How can I love God with my soul? How can I love God with my mind? And how can I love God with my strength? Imagine the richness of your devotional life in a year's time. If every day you did that, can you imagine the increase in your faith, the increase in your joy, the better perspectives you'd have? Can you imagine how life would go from strength to strength? I'm not saying you won't face challenges. I can guarantee that. You're going to have challenges this year. But even through challenges, you can succeed. You can prosper. You can rise above anything that 2022 has in store for you if you're grounded in the love of God. That's what Jesus said back. He said, that's so simple. I'm going to summarize the entire Old Testament in four key things. And that's what it is. And that's what I commend to you this year in 2022. Let's pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you for the simplicity of this message. Thank you that we can do. Lord, I know that if you've asked us to do this, that you know that it's possible. So Holy Spirit, come and help every person who hears this. Fill them with a can-do mentality. Fill them with hope. Fill them with some really practical, lead them and guide them in some really practical ways every day where they can love you with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lead them in good ways and Lord, prosper their 2022. Let them overcome every hurdle, every challenge that comes their way. And Jesus, for those who maybe even don't know you or are on the edge or have once walked with you, but now they're not, right now, Jesus, come and stir them back into full faith. Stir them to a life fixed on you. Stir them to a heart that follows you always. Jesus, help them to reconnect and make this year the greatest year of walking with you they've ever had. Jesus, pour out your favor and your life. Amen. Hey, it's been so good bringing this message to you. Can't wait to catch up with you soon. Hey, God bless. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst.